You can begin now.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Good afternoon. Thank you, Premier, in his absence. Honorable Chairperson, my approach is going to be that the Chief Administrator has touched on quite a number of things that I'm going to present, so I'm not going to repeat them. So what the Chief Administrator has already presented, I will just flag and then give a response where a question was raised. And then, Honorable Chairperson, I will also assume that the Honorable Members received the document on the response on the recommendations made by the committee after the visit of April, responses of which were provided. And I will request that if it's allowed, I don't go through that lengthy document and assume that it's read, and then we can be asked questions where it's applicable. Thank you, Members. So, looking at that document, which was actually also circulated, the hard copy in the morning, I'm not going to go through all those. So, Kaya, when you assist me, this particular project name is about the addressing the Auditor General's findings. It's for both prior years, but we are focusing this time for the current year, which is 2014. Allow me not to go through all those because that is an action plan that has been put in place by the consortium, PricewaterhouseCoopers. They are working with us within the department. So I will skip all that. I will take questions where appropriate. So we'll skip straight to the headcount project, which is the next one. There was a question asked after Mr. Song presented related to the headcount. My response to that question is that the headcount from the physical count has actually been completed. It was completed in August. The team is now, you skipped. The team is actually now verifying the data. The only thing we can say that there is that there were challenges during the physical count at hospital level where 4 visits had to be made to try and track certain doctors. So we'll get the final report on those because we had agreed that they should stop going back. The initial agreement was that they will only go back twice. They went beyond that. They went back 4 times. And still those people were not there. So we'll see when we get the final report on the 16th of October, but we will have a workshop with South Africa for us to interpret the document correctly on the 23rd of October. That's on the headcount. In terms of the boilers, I wish to confirm, like the Premier did, that the project has been concluded. All the 38 boilers are there now in those 19 hospitals. The next phase of that project is the maintenance part because we don't want to invest in the boilers the next day they go back to where they were, and as the Premier said, the poor quality of the coal is also now affecting the very best boilers. So, and we do have funding for that. The next project, procurement, the transversal procurement. I'm not going to repeat this project. Mr. Tom has elaborated and adequately described what it is that we're doing here, specifically in health as a pilot for the entire health sector. What is key there is for me to indicate that the intention is that once this is fully operational, we're going to roll it out to all the other health departments. The first one that we are working together with now is housing on this project. Housing and education. Thank you. The next one is the review of the organizational structure. Maybe here, let me start by what I should have started with, to introduce the new HOD. I should have started there. Ten minutes and my apologies. The HOD introduced himself in the morning. This is Dr. Gamani, who took over 2 months ago, sir? Yes. Okay. 2 months ago. Yes. The former HOD has been moved to social development. Yes. Still under the same MEC. And I need to confirm here that the CFO suspension has been lifted. He's now on a proportional transfer to Treasury while we are waiting for the DPSA criminal case to be finalized. I must say that is still posing a challenge for us because we are not able to deal with that office permanently, I mean decisively and in a sustainable manner. However, as Mr. Tom said, we do have a supporting official from National Health who's capable and leads the team currently. But in terms of sustainability, that really poses a challenge. We've previously indicated the witnesses in terms of capability and capacity under the CFO's office. Mr. Tom talked to that. We are busy recruiting all those people at the first interview for the advertised post will be on the 23rd of October. Including the risk manager and a lateral transfer for the supply chain. I have to indicate that our biggest challenge in this unit of the CFO is with supply chain, and the chief administrator has already said. The general manager here is also on a precautionary transfer because he was suspended, so that we had to uplift the suspension. But over and above, in terms of assisting with capacity, previously we reported to the committee that there were 33 interns. The period of the internship expired early this year. Now, out of those, we put on a 2-year contract, 51 of those officials, but now they are targeted. We put them at Polokwane and Mangwe hospitals, with some of them at provincial office to specifically deal with this revenue issue at the receivables and the record management at the 2 tertiary hospitals. Okay? And the next one is the pharmaceutical depot. This used to be a problem, members would recall, but it has now stabilized. The stock levels were fluctuating during the last financial year and early this year. However, for the current financial year, things look to be stabilized, especially now with the approach that we are now implementing of direct deliveries. We started with the 2 tertiary hospitals, Makwek and Purukwani, so that they don't depend only on the depot. If the depot runs out of stock, they can buy out directly. With the challenges we had with the surgical supply for dry dispensaries, which are on tenders that expired, and these are transitional contracts, we have now got approval from the Housing Department of Health to participate in their managed contract so that the turnaround is addressed immediately. That is the pharmaceutical depot. So we're going to roll out the direct deliveries after it's fully implemented at the 2 tertiary hospitals, and then by December this year, we expect to have rolled out the regional hospitals that will be in the district. Next one is related to the infrastructure. I'm not repeating any of that, except to indicate that the last time we reported, we said we have a litigation case with the service provider who was managing our PMU. We have happily won the case, and it has been confirmed that their contract expired, because that's what they were arguing. They wanted to continue with us until the contracts that they were managing were completed, which did not make business sense at all. But okay, so they were told by the court that an expiry of a contract is an expiry of a contract. So unfortunately, that had a serious impact on our audit findings, because the documents they did not hand over to us resulted in a limitation of scope amounting to 536 million. So that has been resolved now. Oh, okay, that is infrastructure. We were struggling to attract qualified engineers and infrastructure managers. We advertised, we interviewed, we could not find anybody. We have re-advertised and we will be interviewing again to the current month. Hopefully we will be done by the end of November. However, we are looking forward to implementation of the PMU, but related to the management side of the technical, we still link to Public Works, and we have also signed an MOU with Public Works and IDT for them to take over all the projects that were managed by the then service provider. Next one. I'm not going to talk about disciplinary cases because they've been adequately covered. This one, Mr. Tom also addressed, just to confirm that we have 44 managers in the department. They are not only from the finance responsibility, it cuts across all managers that are going through that project-based training. We are hoping to get good results out of them and still are hopeful that people are still trainable, the ones that are actually attending the training. In terms of, yes, we have had issues of people who have gone beyond training. In terms of revised operational plan, the revised operational plan, this one, I just need to confirm that all these projects that we are tracking and implementing have been included in the annual performance plan. And therefore, when the department also updates their five-year plan, they will ensure that all these projects are there because they are continuing. Some of them are one-off, like the headcount, but most of these are ongoing, and they need to be sustained. And that one is the responsibility of the accounting officer. The chairperson, I just need to add one thing that I did not put up there, so that we understand the challenge that Mr. Tom talked about, to say most of the challenges of the audit findings for help are at district level. We have recently done an analysis of capacity. We are still waiting for treasury to do the ones in the CFO's office. But we took a personal sit down and we looked at all the establishments for the finance unit in head office as well as the district. This is just a recent exercise, that's why it's not there. We have 2,045 posts, approved posts. 1,024 of those are filled. When you analyze that, you find that 78% of the vacancy is within the revenue management at hospital level. So it translates into the challenges that Mr. Tom talked about earlier, that among other things with us is the revenue management, which is related to the provincial health information system that Mr. Tom called PHIS, which we are in the process of making a decision, the HOD can talk to them, of whether we keep the system or we agree that it is not doing what it was supposed to do, despite the investment that was put in that project. We are informed that close to 250 million or more, was invested in that system. However, there's no value for money currently. So we are in the process of deciding whether to continue with it, put more investment or just discard of it and count our losses and then implement what other provinces are implementing, which is the patient billing system hub. An exercise has already been done in terms of benchmarking with Northwest, which is working perfectly well at the hospital. So if all else fails, we'll just get rid of the billings and then implement the hub system. So I will stop there. I don't know if the HOD wants to add anything. Thank you, Chairman. HOD is good. Thank you, fine.
For that presentation, honorable members, then can we ask any questions? Honorable Ross, honorable Liz,
No, thank you, Chairperson. I think the document gives us the progress made on the issues that were there. So it makes it easier for us to understand where we are going, and I think the Select Committee on Health will be able to take it further if they are any. But there was an issue that was raised this morning, maybe just to get a clarity. And knowing that the Limpopo is largely rural, and access to health is the problem, especially in terms of transport and all. So there's this complex that they mentioned that they are building, which is going to give accommodation to the medical professionals. I just wonder where this complex is, because knowing Limpopo as I know it is very wide, will that not again give a large number of people in a particular area because they have got access to accommodation, the medical staff, and you still find the same problem again in the deep rural areas in terms of accessing professionals. My second question would be just generally, there is a problem of securing medication, especially to the health centers, again, in deep rural areas. I know I speak from experience because I live that life and I still live it. How you procure medication for certain clinics, I know what is being done now. There is a depot that is providing the whole province. And what do you think? Don't you think that there should be a shift there? Or maybe is there something, let me just say, is there something being done to change this status quo? Because it's not working, it's not assisting. Lastly, how do you deal with trans-border issues? I know, for instance, I come from an area which is closer to Pretoria, and also which is Gauteng, also closer to Limpopo, in the area of Denantin. There are these problems in health of transferring patients for over long distance, and we are told that there is money that is going to be paid to another province. There is a memorandum of understanding where another province has got to pay the other province for taking their patients. Is that not also leading to corruption? What is this that can happen? Because what we are saying now, what we are trying to do is to try and eliminate as far as possible the reasons that might be created for those people who, you know, have got corrupting behaviors, mentality to continue doing what they are doing. Those are just the issues. I'm happy with the report that you did send to us, and I think as the Committee on Health, we will continue to interact with you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Madam Chair, if I could get some clarity on the boiler issue. Mr. Tom reports that 38 boilers are being repaired. The Premier reports that 38 new boilers have been installed. You now report that 38 boilers have been refurbished and repaired. What exactly is the situation with the boilers? Are they actually operational right now, or is the quality of the coal preventing them from being operational? And are they indeed new boilers, or are they being repaired? Madam Chair, the question of the accommodation of health professionals is, for me, the same issue that my colleague has raised. One is providing this accommodation, I presume, in an urban area, in Polokwane, presumably, if I remember correctly. There are two issues, and the one my colleague has dealt with, so I won't repeat it. But the second issue is, how are you dealing with this as a fringe benefit? I don't think SARS are here, but I assume that this is being declared as a fringe benefit too. So, and that the other professionals in your province are getting the same benefit, even if they're not actually getting the accommodation, they're getting some other form of similar benefit. Thank you.
Thank you also for the petition on health. The question of the problems in the district hospitals have been raised twice now. But it just reminded me of 8 district hospitals that we did an oversight last year. I've just asked the CEO there. I want her to remind me about the name of that clinic. What we found there is that she is one of the CEOs that are hands-on. And the way you look at her hospital, it's years when that hospital was built, but the way it is kept, it was not even a question of window dressing because we were coming. The culture of the nurses there, we were saying amongst ourselves, it is a pity that her hospital is a district and maybe far from others where the lessons of the exchange of best practice and mentoring others that are where we have challenges as government. She's gonna SMS me now before we end this process. I'll have the name of that district hospital then.
Yeah, thank you. This is the question that I raised during the talks presentation on services that are provided by many departments. But I realize also it is here in the health department. Services like security, laundry, catering, etc. I said, are these services in-house or they have been outsourced? And I didn't meet the recommendations that if they have been outsourced, they must be insourced because it will also create jobs, permanent jobs to people. I did not get that response. I thought when the state that was speaking here said to address some of these issues, she did not touch on them. The second one, it was the issue of shortage of medicines in hospitals. Has the system improved now? Are hospitals being supplied adequately with medicines and so on? Thank you.
I think the first question that I wanted to talk to is the audit findings. On the action to mitigate the risk, you're saying, I think in the middle of that page, it says the administration team made available interns to address the systemic issues. But what do you mean by the interns? Are you talking about people that still need to learn or doing inspiration work? Or and then the other issue is audit support unit. Here I just need clarification. One understands that the department is supposed to be having an audit committee and it is supposed to be having an internal auditor. Now we're talking about an audit support unit. What is that? And you know, there is a mention of PwC Rakoma. I'm sure we have actually spoke about this, the kind of assistance and consultants, you know, the terms of reference or the service level agreement with them. Because surely, without actually undermining their integrity, but surely they have got different interests to the department. And their continued engagement or appointment within the department will be in their best interest. While you need the problems that you have in the department to be quickly resolved. And so you have got a popular interest. Now, the kind of the agreement that you have with them, whether it is time-bound and whether it is results-based, because if I was working for Rakoma, I would actually ensure that I create conditions that we work forever in the department and guarantee well. Then the other issue is, just few days, if not few weeks or a month, there was this cry about the surgical, I think it's equipment, the gloves for the doctors. It even went into public media. Some lady, I think, who's in charge of the depot was saying a lot of things, while the union was saying totally different things, that they are just not there. Now I see in the report we're talking about something like 43% or so, something around there. Is that adequate? If the depot is operating at that level at 43%, I don't work in those kind of things, but I just want to know, 43% is less than 50%. It just rings when I look at it. But in terms of your operations, is 43% an adequate operational level for those kinds of equipment which may be needed almost every time? Thank you very much.
Okay. You may respond.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Honorable Members. I'm going to leave the difficult question for HOD.
No, I do the easy one. Okay. The easy response to the location of the accommodation for the doctors is that it is for one. The HOD will talk about the strategic location of that accommodation. How does it address the challenges and the shortages of the health professionals? And then, yes, the system at the depot has improved. In the response to SPOC, I indicated the percentage of availability of SPOC. On average, members will remember that when the members were here in April, there was backwards and forwards in terms of where are we really with the depot. And at that time, we were talking about the percentage of 43% availability because of the challenges there. As we speak now, we did a comparative analysis of September last year and this year. We are at 79.7 or 80%. And the target is 95% national, on average. That's the kind of, when we are said to be fully operational or functional, we should be at 95%. So we are gradually moving towards that. And as indicated in our report, we actually also improved the budget related to medical supplies. Last year we spent plus minus 800 and something million, above 800. This year our budget is 1 billion, 61,000, I think. And it's in line with the benchmark exercise that was done by National Health to see that with the population and the patient numbers we have, how much are we expected to budget for medication? And we are almost at the required level of budgeting.
over and above what the chief administrator said. As a result, the growth percentage is the highest in all the 9 provinces in Limpopo, because we were trying to ensure that we have adequate budget for that. Okay, the comment, we will wait for the district hospital. In terms of the issues related to security, lottery, and all that, the in-house and outsourcing. Can I respond specifically to the security one? Because that's the one that even is a nightmare. We did an analysis at National Health to look at how much we're spending on security at the 9 health department. And we found that Limpopo Health has the highest budget, because Limpopo Health has security in more facilities than other provinces. Maybe it's rural nature also. And then we also did an analysis to say, what if we do the services internally, as the member is proposing, which I know is a debate, and National Health actually took that resolution that we need to move towards in-house security services, catering, laundry, but with capacity and systems. So that's what we are working on now. And when we did that cost-benefit analysis, it actually is more expensive with current prices for us to do in-house, because you have to ensure that there's pension, there's medical aid, there's uniform, there's what. So in terms of the investment that goes into the in-house, when you look at it on medical terms, you will say that it's expensive. But when you look at the sustainability and the fact that those people will have more security, the security, the personnel, and the fact that we will have control over them, and we can monitor them ourselves, then you have to weigh your cost-benefit analysis. So we are at that stage. There was a decision taken by the Department of Health in Bobo a year before we came, that we need to do a phase-in in-house security services. So we mix the two approaches until we can afford a full in-house. So the HOD can talk to the other services, the catering and the laundry. The issue related to the terms of reference for PWC Rakoma, if Mr. Tom doesn't mind, I will delegate afterwards. Definitely it's time-bound. They have a plan. We developed a plan together, us and them, as a department, as the beneficiaries of the service they're giving us. And their contract, if I'm not wrong, says that they will get their services end of March, although it would be good for us, for them to be around during the audit period before the end of July. And their approach is that they don't do work for us. They don't necessarily do the operational work where people are appointed to do the work. They are there for technical support. For instance, they are engaged in assisting us with the capacity building at district level, putting systems in place at provincial level. They don't do the work for that. They don't do the payments, they don't write, they don't get involved in the system at all. They give us technical support. And because we do not have adequate people in finance, as my indication earlier on, that we're at the 50% vacancy rate, they close the technical gap, like analyzing and giving us quality assurance on the financial statement, all that engagement with the auditor general, all the technical issues that we don't have, and evaluating the contract before we finalize them. So they get involved in all that high-tech financial management. Mr. Trump can take the issue of their terms of reference. Shortly, I'll say the last one, the shortages of surgicals. In my presentation, I indicated honorable member, that Dr. Kamane will speak with whether it's appropriate or not, because it represents. But the measures that were taken in place to improve on the 43 is to partner with housing. But the other challenge that we picked up is that much as they have given us authority to utilize their tenders, their service providers do not have the capacity to give us the full stock levels that we want. So we will order, say, for argument's sake, 20,000 gloves, we will get 5,000 because of the stock levels they have. And then there will be a back order and what. So it's a two-way process. Sometimes it's our weaknesses in terms of procurement system, but also the manufacturers also have challenges with the capacity to produce. Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Chairperson, I will start with the location of the doctor's complex. This is right in town in Bulawayo. It's opposite the mall called Savannah Mall on your way to Sandin. But let me just add that's not the only the complex that is being provided for accommodation. Because in the plan that is being currently executed to fast track secure infrastructure between now and the end of the financial year, there are quite a number of hospitals that are rural-based where there will be completion of accommodation for professionals. These include hospitals like Itaba, Tabazimbi, Mokopane, Noble, Hapane, Kipokong, Jamefet, Philadelphia. So quite a number of these hospitals are providing accommodation because the department took a strategic decision of building hospital accommodation in order to attract and retain staff. Yes, it is true that a lot of the professionals that are working in Limpopo are beneficiaries of what's called the rural allowance, but they utilize that to pay for the accommodation that they are utilizing. So in a sense, there's that subsidization in that manner. Just to talk about the medication and the surgical. I think if you look at the Department of Health here, the medication is almost at what is at an acceptable level. I think it's between 79 and 80. And it just needs to be increased to 95 so that we're adequate, whilst the consumables are still sitting at 43. But I think this is an improvement from the base where we started at the beginning of the financial year, because then medication was as low as 43. And there were huge stock out here of the surgicals. But in order for a hospital or a facility to have sufficient medication and surgical at 95%, they need to be able to keep what's called a buffer stock of about 6 to 8 weeks. And these are the stocks that we're trying to build up, because at some stage, those stocks were completely not there. And I think through the housing bid, as well as the direct buyout, was slowly building up, and I'm confident that in the next few months we will have these insufficient levels, because there's no issue of personnel shortages in those areas or budgetary constraints. It's just that at some point we do have challenges with suppliers not being able to give us all the quantities that we're looking for. There was also the issue of whether the current medical depot model is the ideal one. I think a strategic decision has already been taken that, you know, the supply of medication should not be the core business of health facilities. They are there to provide the services. And I think at the national level, there's a whole review of the depot model, because people are saying CEOs and all key managers must focus on providing services. There will be another avenue that will provide for the supply of medication. And the initiative that the administrator has already talked to here, that the hospitals are being encouraged and capacitated to buy directly from suppliers, is one of those initiatives. And in fact, if you look at current manner in which ARVs, these are the antiretrovirals, are being supplied to our hospitals. These are supplied directly from the manufacturers, and the hospitals supply the clinics that are in their catchment population. So that is being piloted, and so far it has worked out well. Because even with the problems that we've had with medication, at least we have not had a major problem with ARVs. The trans-border referrals, I think the issue here is to accept that not all the provinces have got the skills and capacity to deal with the most complex medical problem. There are hospitals called central hospitals, like you know, Charlotte Maclerke and Yochlotes Kiel and Tiger Bay. Those are national referral hospitals who are able to do things like cardiac transplants, and currently that capacity doesn't exist, unfortunately, in provinces such as Limpopo, where we can only provide up to tertiary level. So there's no option for us. If there's a patient that cannot be handled and needs super speciality, it has to be transferred to provinces like Gauteng and in other instances up to Western Cape. But I think honorable members are right to be concerned about the way these referrals are done, and the fact that whilst the conditional grant funding for these services is already located at those hospitals that have got these central services, that there is continued demand by those provinces that the referring provinces should pay for those services. So it's always a tussle here. And I think there is a national review of the National Tertiary Services Grant in order to address those particular challenges.
Members, I forgot the boilers and the intent. Honorable members, the boilers have been both repaired and refurbished. Both repaired and refurbished. And they are definitely functional as we speak, despite the challenges that we have of the quality of the coal. We do have regular reports from the people on site who will be telling us if a particular boiler is found having problems because of the coal, and the matter is dealt with on site, because part of the contract for the refurbishment and repair was training, so that when the manufacturers or the people who were doing the refurbishment and the installation of new parts, that's why the premier was talking about new, some of them had to be replaced, new parts, for this to be functional. People were trained on site so that we don't necessarily depend on outside help. Although the technical maintenance, we don't have the capacity to do, and that's what we are busy dealing with. And the second phase of the project, but all of them are now functional in terms of the boilers. The intents, honorable members, they were intents for 12 months, now they are contracted.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, members. Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. I've got the name of the hospital. I may pronounce it wrong. It says it's Mecklenburg. Yeah, that's why I'm apologizing before. And then it's a Moroge village. Yeah, something like that. So we were then impressed because she will tell you the challenge, and she will tell you this is what we're gonna address. This is how we're gonna address the challenge, which is very much rare in where we do oversight. She's the only one that will say, no, here we had a problem. This is how we're overcoming. Here we have a problem, and this is our plan of intervening on that. So what they say, if we raised with the minister last year after coming back, so we're saying, as we are having challenges with this hospital, I think we can use
such CEOs in sharing these best practices and mentoring others. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. I'm not going to take your time. I think I just wanted to talk to the section where you spoke about conflict of interest by departmental officials doing business with government. And I think in the previous presentation, we had one gentleman trying to explain that, you know, it's having private interest. It's not a problem, just declare. And I really just want to raise this, Chairperson. And we definitely need to utilize the provision seriously. The one that actually says that these officials must seek approval from their senior. And because I really do have a problem, Chair, that if an official is owning a catering company and then is appointed by another department to go and provide catering, which time is that official using? Which time is that particular person doing the catering? And to me, it's a serious problem. It just leads to corruption. And again, if one official from health is running a catering company and another one is education, these officials can just simply exchange appointments. They can just one appoint the other department, the other one appoint the other one in the other department. And really, it's just problematic. And if I have the power to really change this, is that no official should have any private interest. Full stop, and that will actually clean everything. But because it is not like that, I don't have the power, I will definitely recommend that that provision that says they must request approval, then must be enforced, and the seniors must really refuse that approval. Because it's the only way to clean the system. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Mabijali Mohana from the Bobo. I'd like to ask just one question from the Department of Health. The question is, do we have a tracking unit in our department that has got a specific mandate to pick on issues well before they go out of hand, they get out of hand? I'm saying this because we can do all the necessary and important remedial methods, but if we do not have real information from the ground of issues causing dissatisfaction to the communities, then I don't think it will be effective enough. I'm saying this because sometimes when you do constituency work and you move around for provision, you move around clinics, health centers and hospitals, you find that the things are not that okay. So I'm just asking if we have, I understand we have CEO who might be very competent, but then as a department, provincial department, we need to have a tracking unit that will have information on the fingertips so that they can assist the political component to have the true reflection of what is happening in all those things, institutions concerning service delivery. I do not want to go into this and that and that and that. It does not assist us. That's my.
member, it looks like we have any additional response. Okay.
Instead of being the best of the three, you would be the best of all of us.
I think that's a very important point that needs a very important, attention. We need to enter into, some form of agreement or relationship as province when it comes to that kind of because I have seen, you know, I'm also from the area of Poland. I have seen people trying to so that's something that will definitely be
thanks very much. It looks like we have exhausted all the questions and the responses on this presentation. This reminds me, firstly, when we visited Limpopo, that it was a very, those meetings were very emotional, very tense, and the environment was so hostile. We never thought that we would reach the stage that we have reached today. It was a nightmare. So I want to say thank you very much, Honorable Premier. Thank you very much, Chief Administrator, with your team. Indeed, the report that we have just received from Health Department is really super, and we are relieved at once. So it is up to the Department of Health in the Limpopo and the Premier to sustain the situation and improve, so that the department gets out of the disclaimer, it gets a clean audit in future. We are looking forward to that. And on that note, I would like to take this opportunity to thank you very much, Honorable Premier, to stay with us for the whole day. That indicates commitment on your side in ensuring that. You know, this honorable member always has new ways for each and every situation. He says it's a new normality. Keep it up. I'm sure all members are very, very happy and they will sleep peacefully today. I hope this will, it will be the same with education and the public. Thank you very much. See you tomorrow at 8:30 again.